Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
My boss asked to meet with me one morning at 8 a.m. on a Monday, and I walk in and he pulls me into a small conference room and he pushes this orange folder across at me and he just says, "I'm sorry, Jen, but your services are no longer needed here." And we had such a great relationship. I looked at him and I go, "Get the F out." And he said, "No, I'm not kidding." And I said, "Who else are you laying off?" And he told me, and I said, "Would you please let me do those layoffs?"
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Jen Kokin. Jen has held a laundry list of high-level positions. She's smart, funny, and definitely one of my favorite people I've interviewed. She's also written a book called When I Die, Take My Panties, turning your darkest moments into your greatest gifts. But Jen also lost her job and decided to stay fired? That's coming up after the break. Real quick request before we get into today's show. If you could go and leave us a kindly, or I guess hurtful, review wherever you listen to your podcasts, that would be amazing. And if your podcatcher doesn't allow you to do that, you can click the first link in the show notes. It'll take you right to Podchaser, which is like an IMDb for podcasts. You can drop us a review there. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear about it. It helps people find us and it makes us feel warm and fuzzy. Enjoy the show. Jen Kokin, ready to talk about another one of your broken bulbs?
Nothing would give me more delight, Alex.
I'm glad, because I know some people come on and they're like, maybe. So let's talk about being laid off right at the launch of your book. Would you mind filling us in first? I mean, what is your book? And then where you were working and then how you wound up getting laid off.
Yeah. So the name of my book is When I Die, Take My Panties, Turning Your Darkest Moments into Your Greatest Gifts. And it really is about all my broken bulb moments in that book. And the backdrop is the story of my mom being diagnosed with ovarian cancer and my journey along there. And I have been working on the rewrites for 4 years. I mean, when you're a writer and you feel like you have a story to tell, the biggest problem is the crisis in confidence. Is anyone going to read it? Is anybody going to listen to it? Will anybody care? And it took two friends of mine to convince me, yes, you need to publish this. So at the time, my whole career had been working in politics. And at the time I was working for a big solar company and had started their community solar program. So I was had hired and built a team of 12 to lobby municipalities to hire us around mostly the East Coast and some in the West too, but around the US, but mostly California and then New York, New Jersey, Maryland, et cetera. So I've been hired, started the arm of the company, 12 people working for me, and we were going gangbusters. And my book was about to come out any day, didn't know when, had hired a publicist to manage it because I loved my job, loved where I worked, loved my bosses, loved what I was doing, loved my team. And I wasn't planning to go anywhere at the time. I think I was 50 at the time. I'm 56 now, just turned 56. So my mind was on retirement, you know, because when you work in politics, there's an election day and your job ends. That's the name of the game. And so, or you pass the law or you fulfill what you're up to doing, you go on to the next job. And when, right before I was turning 50, I'm like, all right, I was let go of, you know, a couple different jobs. They reorganized and ran out of money. But then I decided to go work for a corporation because I thought, all right, I want to be somewhere where I can retire at 65. And that was my trajectory, was to stay with this company for 15 years or 20 years, whatever it was. And I had never sat still that long because as an entrepreneur, you know, we don't sit still. We're always creating. And that's what I loved about this job is I created the whole department from nothing. It was interesting. Each new community we went to, it was a different challenge. So it was always very challenging. Anyhow, my boss asked to meet with me one morning at 8 a.m. on a Monday. And I walk in and he pulls me into a small conference room and he pushes this orange folder across at me. And he just says, "I'm sorry, Jen, but your services are no longer needed here." And we had such a great relationship. I looked at him and I go, "Get the F out." And he said, no, I'm not kidding. And I was like, what? And he looked at me, he goes, this is not performance related. And his eyes got misty. Like he was upset, visibly upset. The whole company was reorganizing. And I said, who else are you laying off? And he told me, and I said, would you please let me do those layoffs? And he agreed, which is unheard of. And I said, look, I'm also in the middle of doing some work and I want to set up the files and everything so y'all can replicate things. I don't want to walk away leaving messes. So let me tidy up. Let me lay off the people. And he said, yes. And I was very, you know, glad that he did that. So I spent that day, people would come in, I'd lay them off and we'd all be sitting there with each other like, okay, tidy up what you can. And at the end of the day, we're turning in our computers and this is it. We all went out for drinks at the end of it. And I got home that night. I was so, you know, it's every broken bulb moment. If you really think about it in hindsight, oh, I could have seen that coming. Oh, right. And a little bit like, oh, I could see that coming. So thinking back, I'm like, oh, that was a clue. I probably should have asked him. He said this. I probably should have asked him. Oh, I knew this wasn't happening. I probably should have asked about that. But we can't blame ourselves in those broken bulb moments because that keeps us stuck and small. I then was at home and they gave me a very generous severance package. I had severance through the end of October. I had COBRA that had health insurance through the summer. So I really didn't have to find a job right away. And my book came out the next day, which I wasn't expecting it to come out the very next day. Now I had hired a publicist I could now no longer afford or didn't want to afford because now I had time to do it myself. That's the other thing about being a writer. When you write a book, that is only part of the battle, so to speak. How do you market it? How do you get people to buy it? That is when the real sweat comes in, right? I didn't know how to do it. But I knew the thing I knew that was right in front of me over the next 5 days is I had a table. So the book is at the backdrop of my mom having ovarian cancer. And I made a pledge when she was dying in the last month of her life because she was misdiagnosed for a year. The doctor, they thought she had irritable bowel and candida. And when they found it, it was stage 4, which is normal when most women are diagnosed. And I said, Mommy, I said, I don't want another woman or family to go through this. So I'm going to make it my business to write a book about our story and use that to educate women about their bodies and what to look for. And I'm going to say this because your listeners, either you are a woman listening or you know a woman. So the symptoms are, I'm going to do a quick plug, which is you have to remember the acronym BEAT, like you beat on a drum, BEAT, bloating, eating, abdominal, and trouble. And what that stands for is if a woman has all four of these symptoms at once and no change of diet or exercise shifts them, get to your doctor and say, your gynecologist, and say, prove to me I don't have ovarian cancer. So bloating, eating, you don't feel hungry, or you can only eat a little bit and you feel full really quickly. You have abdominal pain and you have trouble urinating. Either you can't empty your bladder or you feel like you have to go to the bathroom all the time. So that's my philanthropy. And that was my plan, was this book and my stage was the philanthropic thing I was going to be doing while I was working at this company. So I was getting ready to set up a whole table at the National Ovarian Cancer Conference. And that was 3 weeks away. And I knew I had to, was already in play to, okay, I need to figure out what's my table, order books, all these things. And I happened to put something out. Hey, you know, when you go to a conference, what makes you stop by a table to talk? Because, you know, we've all been to conferences, but I've never had a table at one. And a friend of mine's husband called me and he does events. He's like, what's going on? And I shared with him and he said, Jen, I can't tell you, Alex, what exactly he said. But it made me think for a week. And during that week, no less than 3 of the senior people at my former company called me to see if they could recruit me on new endeavors to go work with them, et cetera. And I said, I don't know that I'm going to go work for another company. But by the end of those 5 days, I had chosen and realized there was a much bigger role for me to play in society. And there was a much bigger message. And I'm going to say it this way because it's my belief system that God wanted me to, and other God, your dog, whatever you want to call it, the universe, your underwear, a tree, nothing, it's fine, your inner wisdom. But I knew there was a much bigger platform that I was to speak on. And so that was the start of my current company, where the ovarian cancer piece is still my philanthropic, but at the end of the day, it's about women having the audacity to be themselves, to live into their truth. Women in my age bracket, in their 40s and up, who get to the corporate level and they're at the top, but don't feel like they should be there, and question and doubt themselves. And every entrepreneur questions and doubts themselves along the way. So it's not, you know, my passion is working with women in that age bracket, but I now work with many people who have imposter syndrome. And that is my expertise in the industry right now.
That is awesome. I mean, having had you on the show before, being able to see how you deal with these issues, and you turn these problems into opportunities. And now you're working with people to help them through things that you've been through or that you've seen people go through. And I think that's absolutely phenomenal. So with that, where can people find these resources that you've created, the things that you do, your book and everything else? How can people find you? How can people get in touch and see what good you're bringing to the world?
Thanks, Alex. Three ways. One is they can get my book, When I Die, Take My Panties, on Amazon's website or Barnes & Noble, whatever bookstore, you know, locally owned bookstore, ask them to get it to you. They can. Secondly, they can go to my website, jencoken.com, J-E-N-C-O-K-E-N.com. And then the final way, because my expertise is in helping people identify and disrupt imposter syndrome, go take my quiz, jencokenquiz.com, which will give you an insight into the characteristics of your own flavor of imposter syndrome. There's a webinar on that site you can watch for more detail. And I take people through a 10-minute embodied meditation, because what I have found, most coaches out there will give you tips and techniques to overcome it. And that is not going to work. That's you managing your brain for the rest of your life, which seems like a lot of hard work. So instead, what I do, the work I do, is we identify the originating incident where the imposter syndrome reared its ugly head, where that neural pathway started. We disrupt that brain pattern. We see what triggers it, and we design new practices for you to, and new neural, we create new neural pathways and new practices for you to hone and master those new neural pathways. It's fascinating work, at least from my perspective, and my clients tell me that too.
That is fantastic, and something that is much needed. So I'll have links for all of those in the show notes. Jen, I just want to say once again, thank you for joining me.
I'm so happy to be here, Alex. Thanks for asking and having me on.
And thank you for listening. Jen's one of my favorite guests. She's got a point and she sticks to it. In this scenario, she took her broken bulb and she went with it. She saw it as an opportunity to focus on sharing her message, and that's what she's doing. Special thank you to Jen for joining me and being willing to talk about her broken bulbs. Be sure to check out her work, including her imposter syndrome quiz. All of her stuff is linked in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. It helps people find us and it makes us feel warm and fuzzy. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host, and the podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson. And the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.